Welcome to an election edition of Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. Beginning with today's show, I will be interviewing candidates in local races in the May 16th election. In the studio today are candidates for Position 1 on the Clatsop Care Health District's Board of Directors, incumbent Karen Burke and challenger Mindy Stokes. Formed in 1987, the publicly funded health district covers much of the county, except for Gearhart, Seaside, and Cannon Beach. It operates the county's only nursing home in Astoria, as well as an assisted living facility, also in Astoria, and a memory care facility in Warrenton. It also provides in-home care throughout the district. Incumbent Karen Burke is a retired registered nurse and former director of the nursing program at Clatsop Community College. She is the chairperson of the health district's board of directors and is vice chairperson of the community college's board. Challenger Mindy Stokes previously worked for the district as a social services director and a facility administrator. She is an adjunct social sciences instructor at the community college. This show was pre-recorded. Welcome to the studio, Karen and Mindy.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Before I launch into questions, I want to mention that I will do my best to track the time so that each of you has roughly an equal amount of time to speak. So I'd like to start by having each of you take a couple minutes to explain why you are running for the Board of Directors. Karen, I'll start with you.
Okay, thank you. The two things that I really care very, very deeply about are healthcare and education, and those are the two boards that I've chosen to serve on. In terms of both, for me, what's important is access and quality and affordable. That applies to tuition, it applies to the cost of health care. The health district, when it was formed for those reasons exactly, to provide access to long-term care in our local community, and long-term care that is a quality care and is affordable to the vast majority of citizens in our area.
Great, thank you. Mindy?
Well, thanks for having me. Thank you, Karen, for meeting for this discussion, and thank you, Kate. So there are a few issues that I care deeply about regarding this healthcare district. I first want to say that I've been involved with the district for 7 years. It started in 2010. My family moved here in late 2007. But when my daughter was just three, she and I started volunteering at the care center. We go once a week. And one thing the elderly loves, they love dogs and they love children. And my child would help run a exercise group, and she'd get in the middle of the folks and bat a balloon, and they would bat it back, and that was exercise for them. And I did that because I wanted my child around older adults. I don't live around my grandparents, and I wanted that for my child. Couple of years later, I came on board with the care district as a social services director at the care center, and then was promoted to be the administrator of the memory care facility. So I care deeply about the elderly in our community. I care deeply about social justice. I care deeply about quality health care, just like Karen. Since I've worked for the district in two different buildings with two different job descriptions, I understand the inherent problems with running a care district, and I also understand the importance of paying people well so we have good employees who stick around, and the importance of keeping good paying jobs in our community. And all of that ties back to providing good quality health care. And so that's why I decided once I left in July that I would run for the board, because I feel so strongly about having a healthy care district, and then having a healthy community because it's a symbiotic relationship. The district cares about the community cares about the district, and when we're all doing well, we all do better.
Yes. Okay, great. Thank you, Mindy. What are some of the experiences, other than the ones we've already touched on, professional and personal, as well as your own qualities that you bring to the position? Karen, what would you say?
Wow, that's a tough question. I have, in terms of personal experience, my father was a resident at Clatsop Care Center a couple times when he needed, as well as I've had other relatives that have been residents. The home care agency provided 24-hour a day, 7-day a week service for my aunt when she was no longer able to care for herself and too stubborn to move out of her own home. That was a godsend to the rest of us because she had no children and we all had full-time jobs and weren't able to change our lives to move in. So it was a real help to know that there were reliable people there who we could trust to provide the kind of care that she needed. So those are some of the personal experiences that I've had. In terms of professional experiences, caring for the aged was always one of my areas of interest in teaching nursing. And I have done additional training in age caring for the older adult and done writing and research about it as well. So it's one of my professional interests as well as a personal interest.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mindy?
So professionally, my experiences that would suit the board, did I frame that question
yeah.
correctly? Okay.
Or the district as a whole.
Sure. Okay. So other than that, I've worked for the care district for 4 years and volunteered for 2 years prior to that. I've been active in this community since I moved here. I'm currently on the Harbor Board for Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault.
And that is the shelter for...
We no longer have a shelter
okay.
that we hopefully will again in the future, but it's an agency that advocates for those who've been victimized.
Okay.
And there's what's called I forget the exact term, but we do put people up in hotels when they need to leave their situation abruptly. Scattered shelter, that's what that's called.
Okay.
So I'm involved in that, and I may become involved with the North Coast Food Web. I used to be on the board of the co-op and on KMUN for a short period of time. So I've been active in the community for years. I care deeply about this community. I've been teaching. I taught in the Lives in Transition program at the college for years, and in that program, what we do is we address obstacles that stop people from continuing in education or in their life in general. And we talked about very difficult topics. And what that has done for me is it has prepared me and given me a skill set that allows me to really drill down to the essence of an issue, tease apart what the problem is or problems, and then address them. So I'm very comfortable having very difficult discussions. And those are discussions that will have to be had at the district level with the condition that the district is in. And given that I've been a part of the district for so long, I have an inside view that not everybody has, and I'm willing to have tough discussions. And so that's what I feel prepares me.
Okay. Great. Thank you. The healthcare district, as you both know, faces a $600,000 shortfall due to various factors, including high maintenance costs at the Aging Care Center building, as well as changes in state Medicaid reimbursements. So with the goal of making up the debt, the board recently hired a private company to manage the district's facilities and programs. Explain why a for-profit company is better suited to making up that debt than the district's own facility managers. So Karen, I'll let you begin with that.
I think what Aiden, the company that was hired, brings to the table is a wealth of experience in working with districts that were in financial difficulty, where they had facilities that were on the brink of closure because of their financial status. So they bring an expertise to the table that the board did not feel at this time that there was someone readily available in the community who had that type of experience. And also they bring resources to us. Aiden is not just one person. It's a small company. I think there are about 7 major employees in the company. But of those 7, they bring different resources in terms of managing financial resources, facilities resources, personnel. They have a nursing consultant that's one of the attractions of that company is in the last year, the district was kind of compelled to spend a great deal of money on a nurse consultant. This was in response to a state survey, and the state asked the district, well, told the district to hire a consultant. And Aiden has a consultant on staff, so that in itself will save the district some money. They bring, as I said, they come in with a wealth of experience, and what we're seeing already is taking a very hard look at current practices and the factors that are impacting the financial status of the district.
And they started on April 1st?
On April 1st, okay. Right.
All right.
Thank Great. You.
Thank you. Yes. Mindy, what do you think of the board's decision to hire the private company to manage the publicly funded district?
It's such a troubling decision. I think that the board acted in the best interests of the district because they were left in a position that was very difficult to grapple with. But I think that the outsourcing of professional jobs has been happening for the last couple of years, and it started with the dining services company. And so much money has been sent out of our community for that company. And that's problematic. And this goes back to a symbiotic relationship that the community has with the district and the district has with the community. I am a big... I believe deeply in cultivating local talent and supporting local workers and helping them professionalize themselves and giving and sending them to training so that they can inhabit local positions. And what happened was when the previous CEO decided to go with an outside company, out-of-state company, to provide dining services, so many of the management positions then didn't go to local folks. And I think that that was the beginning of what we see today. And I know that the board, I know every single member of the board, and I know that they care deeply about the care district. But I think that once you start down a road, it's hard. It's hard maybe not to, let me back up there. Again, I think that the board wasn't, that they really didn't have an easy decision to make, and I completely sympathize.
Okay. All right. If you're just joining me, you're listening to a pre-recorded interview with candidates for Position 1 on the Clatsop Care Health District's Board of Directors in the May 16th election. This is Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. We'll be back after a short break. Thank you. welcome back to a pre-recorded edition of Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. I'm Joan Herman. I'm speaking with incumbent Karen Burke and challenger Mindy Stokes, who are running for Position 1 on the Clatsop Care Health District's Board of Directors in the May 16th election. Right before break, we were talking about the challenges that led up to the board deciding to hire a for-profit company to oversee the district's facilities and other programs. How will the board go about ensuring that patient care is not compromised with a for-profit company at the helm? Karen?
That's a really good question. And I think that is, quality care has always been the overriding factor that the district board has wanted to ensure and worked to ensure. All the decisions that we make are based on that. One of the things that we are seeing already with this new company is they are working with the college in the incoming nursing assistant class. We've upped the number of scholarships for nursing assistants from 2 to 6 so that we have more people available to provide care.
The board provides those scholarships or the district?
The district provides those scholarships. That's correct.
Oh, and how much are those?
They would pay for the tuition.
They would pay for tuition. And I think, I'm guessing that would run around $800 to $900, given the number of credits of the nursing assistant class.
I honestly don't remember. I know that I awarded one, or I asked for one to be awarded for one of my employees, but I don't remember. I know that it covered all of the tuition.
And Mindy and I are kind of looking at each other with scowling, kind of going,
okay.
Well, not quite
sure.
That's okay.
And then in exchange, once the student earns the certificate, he or she would work at the care district?
That's correct.
Okay,
correct.
Great.
So that's a first step in ensuring that quality care. Other steps will be, one of the other initial steps will be to hire an administrator at the care center, because currently the company Aiden Health Services is providing that service, but that will be someone who will be hired locally if available, or brought in to serve and live in the community to serve as the administrator.
Okay, great. Mindy, how would you respond to that? The question about how do you go about ensuring that patient care isn't compromised with a for-profit company managing the facilities?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. I think that's a hard one to answer. When I was running memory care, one of my reasons for being so proud was what I would tell future employees during the interview is that, and also family members who were considering putting their loved one in the facility, I would say, I never get a call from someone out of state telling me that I can't spend such and such money. And I felt like that was such a feather in our cap, because when you have local people, a local board, local people from the community, and you have you're proud of where you work and you take care of this most vulnerable population other than babies, that you're beholden to the folks in the community. You see them on a regular basis. You see them at the grocery store. Your kids go to school together. There's a constant dialogue. And so taking care of the people in your facility is in the best interest of everybody. And when you don't have to answer to someone out of state, it gives you a peace of mind and a comfort and allows you to do a really good job. You know, and it's not that you're out misspending money, not that I misspent money or anybody misspent money, but it takes a potential problem out of the equation, if that makes sense.
So since there is a private company at the helm, what kinds of things can the board do just to make sure that patient care isn't compromised?
Right. So I guess that was your original question, right?
That's okay.
I am verbose.
No, that's all right. Not at all.
I am verbose. Okay. You know, monthly reports, and those really need to be those really need to be looked at intently, and again, those hard discussions need to be made, and some investigation needs to be done as well. And I'm assuming the reports come early, because I know when I was on the board, we always had to turn in a report early before the board meeting, which gives board members a time to really devour the information and come to the meeting with questions.
Have you served on the board before?
No, but I, as an administrator, I had to make a report, and I was at every meeting, correct?
Right.
So, again, it's going to have to be digging deeply and not just taking someone's word for anything, but really doing your homework. And that's really, in my view, what a board needs to do. And not to micromanage a staff, but right. to really dig deep.
Yes, Karen.
I think I would add to that, it's not only monthly board meetings, but we have been meeting, well, very regularly with the new administration, and we'll continue to meet with them more than monthly. The plan is for weekly updates, at least for the board. And it's not only looking at and reviewing the reports that they provide, but for example, we know that with the financial situation of the district, it's going to be important to increase revenues and to decrease expenses. So a big part of what the board is going to be doing is looking at how that, what the proposals are for that. And we need to approve those proposals. So if there are cuts in staffing, looking to ensure that those are not cuts that directly affect patient care in any way.
Okay.
So really looking hard.
Okay. Beyond what we've just spoken of, what would your goals or specific projects be that you might want to take on? Mindy, I'll start with you for that one.
Sure. So employee turnover is great in healthcare, especially for CNAs and caregivers. And it's a very difficult, hard job. When you're at the care center, it's physically demanding. And when you're at the memory care, it's psychologically and emotionally demanding because you're working with people with dementia and their brain is dying and it's shrinking. And so we need to compensate them better. And I think that that's a pretty easy point to come to. Mm-hmm. And so there needs to be some thinking outside of the box. And that's number one thing. Employee morale, staff morale, you know, it's low right now. I've seen some employees recently all over the board, nurses, caregivers, admin, and they're so afraid. They're so afraid they're going to lose their jobs. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen them. And I worked with these people for years, so I care deeply about them. It hurts me that they're afraid. I know what it's like to be afraid that you're going to be cut. I've had jobs like that where you know that the administration is going to cut, and you don't know if you're going to be the one or if your friend is.
How do you go about increasing morale in that kind of climate?
Right. How do you? Correct.
Do you have any specific ideas off the top of your head?
So there are one thing, you know, when long-term care has never been as well-paying as hospital work. I don't quite know why it started that way, but it is that way, even though I work in a hospital currently. And let me tell you what, long-term care is much more difficult than hospital work. When I first started, morale was high. And what was going on was constant praise for the staff and parties, and every month there's some type of competition or some type of celebration, and it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. But when you have really hardworking people in an industry that doesn't pay that well, you need to boost them in some other way. And there's actual ways to do it. As I've said, it was done when I first started working there. And just constantly training your staff to be better. You know, I'm an educator too, like Karen, and what I know about people is that most people really want to do a good job. They want to be noticed. They want to know that they're important. They want to be challenged, and they want to be inspired, and they want to be, they have to be held accountable too. And that's being an educator, as Karen knows. Those are like lots of balls you have to have in the air at all times, but it's doable. And it's the same thing when you have a staff.
Okay. Karen.
Gosh, can I just say me too? I agree with Mindy on that. That was a great answer. I think also establishing an atmosphere of stability and growth where the staff is able to see that they have a stable administration who cares about them, as well as an administration that is promoting growth and bringing them back into, bringing the entire district back into a period of stability, and so that we can be looking forward rather than looking forward 5 and 10 years from now, rather than looking forward 6 months from now and wondering if we're still going to be in business. So that's what I would add to that.
Okay. Is there room for the district to increase services to residents, whether by building another assisted living facility, as I know the one that you now have is full, or improving the care center to attract more residents? Who'd like to take that one first?
Oh, I think there is room. And I think at this point, we do have room at the care center. We are licensed for 71 beds. We don't currently have the staffing for that. But as the staffing stabilizes and improves, we certainly will be increasing the number of residents at the care center. Increasing the home care area of the district is one that we already know is a goal and a plan, because more and more people want to be cared for in their homes and they want to stay there. So that will be another area that we can increase the services.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Mindy?
I agree. Exactly what Karen says. People want to what's called age in place. And there's a growing movement for that to support people where they are. And again, in-home care services is a great way to do that. And I'll leave it at that because I am so verbose.
Oh, that's all right. I want to thank my guests, incumbent Karen Burke and challenger Mindy Stokes, who are running for position 1 on the Clatsop Care Health District's Board of Directors in the May 16th election.
Thank you, Joan. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, thank you so much for having us, and thank you, Karen.
Incumbent Karen Burke is a registered nurse and former director of the nursing program at Clatsop Community College. She is the chairperson of the Health District's Board of Directors. Challenger Mindy Stokes previously worked as the Social Services Director for Clatsop Care Center and as administrator of the district's memory care facility. She is an adjunct social services instructor at the community college. The publicly funded district covers much of Clatsop County, excluding Gearhart, Seaside, and Cannon Beach. It operates the county's only nursing home, as well as an assisted living facility and a memory care facility. It also provides in-home care throughout the district. This is Perspectives, and I'm your host, Joan Herman. Perspectives normally airs every other Friday, but between now and the May 16th election, I will have weekly interviews with candidates in the local races. And if you live in Oregon and you're not yet registered to vote, the deadline to do so is April 25th in order to vote in the May election. Don't lose your vote. Perspectives is heard on the stations of Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM and KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM, or streaming live at coastradio.org. You also can find a podcast of the show on the station's website. Thanks for listening.